Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. We've got more articles to cover in Creation Magazine, but before we do that, Bob, there's some current news stories that I wanted to bring up.
All right.
One of them is Huffington Post quoted an article that we just covered a couple shows ago, and they quoted the spokesperson from American Right to Life, Bob Enyart.
Oh,
so
Fred,
I really want to get to that.
We did a whole show on that article about pro-choice leaders and groups who are advocating infanticide. Forget about abortion. They want to kill the baby after it's born. And so, yeah, here's a Huffington Post,
which is kind of like the liberal version of Drudge Report.
Yeah.
So they quoted you, their very popular online website for news.
For child killers, homosexual activists.
Exactly,
leftists, liberals, socialists, evolutionist atheists.
Yep, that's right.
Potheads.
March 13th, 2015, there's an article out on the underpopulation crisis in Japan.
Oh, wait.
So I thought that would be a
good one. Wait, Japan has a population crisis?
They have a population crisis, but it's an underpopulation crisis.
Uh-oh. The poor Japanese.
Yeah. So, hey, I thought it'd be great if Real Science Radio jumps into the myth of overpopulation.
Well, you know, when Real Science Radio looks at a topic, we have our own unique way of presenting the information, Fred. So why don't we do it? Real Science Radio looks at overpopulation.
Okay. Well, there is an ethical question I remember from the public school years, you know, many years ago. They probably still ask it today. And I want to run that question by you and see what you think.
All right.
Six people just survived the sinking of an ocean vessel. They are afloat in a lifeboat with only enough water for five. On board are a doctor, a carpenter, a nurse, a blind elderly woman, a sailor, and a counselor. So, who should be thrown overboard?
Well, wait a minute now. On board, there's a doctor and a
carpenter.
Sailor. You need a sailor to survive. Carpenter, his skills. A nurse, she might be able to help somebody if they get injured. A counselor. And an old woman, an elderly, a blind elderly woman.
A blind elderly woman.
Well, you know, environmentalists designed this exercise, Fred, to teach public school students to solve problems by eliminating excess people.
Yeah.
So there's a fundamental problem when the culture forgets that we were created in God's image, special. Then, as Creation Magazine says, we're just bags of chemicals. And so you make up the rules. You want to kill this elderly woman? Like in Holland, all the euthanasia, just kill her.
Yeah.
Just kill her.
Yeah. They point you right to the one they want you to pick. I mean, of course, they left the lawyer off the list. You know,
They made
it so obvious.
What do you call 800 lawyers at the bottom of the sea?
What?
A good start. No, that's just the joke.
Okay.
But I don't like lawyers. I mean, Jesus didn't like lawyers.
That's right.
He was pretty harsh with them.
Yep.
He didn't like the publicans either. Now we have the Republicans.
Well, I wonder what he thought of Jacques Cousteau.
Why him?
I mean, this quote from him was
shocking.
Speaking
of the sea.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He said this. He was a famous oceanographer who's since deceased, but I hate to be in his shoes. This is what he said. To stabilize the world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. Oh. It's a horrible thing to say, he admitted, but it's just as bad not to say it.
Wow. I mean, that sounds pretty much like Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get rid of 250,000 people a day because people are useless eaters and they're destroying our opportunity for progress. And he recognized it's a horrible thing to say. He realized what he was saying.
Yeah. But he says it's just as bad not to say it. That's just amazing.
And, you know, that was published in a UN publication. Now, Fred and I host Real Science Radio. And so now and then we put out an article. And so this will be a Real Science Radio article. Is the world overpopulated?
And the answer is no.
No. So that quote from Jacques Cousteau, it didn't appear in the weekly world news. No. It didn't appear in the National Enquirer. It appeared in UNESCO's Courier. That's a United Nations publication. And that sentiment is not rare among these environmental extremists.
Oh, that's right. I mean, so Britain's Prince Philip, he's a president of the Worldwide Fund for Nature. Well, similar to this, Britain's Prince Philip, he said this. He would like to be reincarnated as a killer virus to lower human population levels.
A killer virus? Now, he's the president, or at least was, I don't know if he still is, of the Worldwide Fund for Nature.
for Nature.
The Worldwide Fund Earth for Nature. Worship. He wants to be first of all, there is no reincarnation.
No.
It's appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment.
That's right.
That's from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. What does he want to be? HIV? He wants to give AIDS to people?
Yeah.
Prince HIV lip, I guess. I mean, that's what he's saying. He wants more AIDS in the world. This is how conflicted and ignorant leftists are. They're just so ignorant.
Oh, they are. Now, this next one here, I remember seeing this on the TV show several decades ago, actually.
The BEL Televised Classics.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy's name is Paul Ehrlich, and he wrote a book called The Population Bomb.
I read some of that book.
Yeah, and I remember.
What a book.
Yeah, and you had noted that not a single prediction has come true. That sounds like Al Gore's book on global warming. Not a single one of his predictions. Not only did they not come true, right, they've been falsified.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah, well, they were saying things like, you're not going to be able to make snowballs on the East Coast.
Yeah.
This is like record snowfall. You and Dr. Ed Boudreau were talking about that.
Yeah, and how, Sports Illustrated, their cover was the Miami football stadium covered in water. You know, the ocean had bore in on the Miami coast.
And right.
So
it's all.
I guess they were going to play some kind of water polo. So Paul Ehrlich declared that America would have widespread food rationing by the late 70s.
Food rationing?
Food rationing by the late 70s in America. And we'd be literally dying of thirst by 1984.
Ooh.
And would have 65 million famine deaths in the 80s.
65 million people in America would die, like a quarter of the population, in the 1980s from a lack of food. Meanwhile, we became the most obese country in the world.
Yeah.
Because of prosperity and because everybody, even the poor, could pretty much eat as much ice cream as they want. So that didn't happen.
So another one, Bob, that I love is an exchange you had with a Colorado public school teacher.
Oh, yeah. He was a school board member, too.
Yeah, so that's going to appear in the article, and I have the transcript here. So I'd like to play Jack Fish.
Oh, yeah.
And you can play because yourself.
Fred, he was also a local columnist.
Yeah.
The reason he was on Bob and Yurt Live on the radio, we invited him on because he wrote a column about Somalia being overpopulated. So I thought, and Somalia was in the news so often and still is with their pirates and everything else, and their economy is in tatters. And so he said the reason they have such a mess is because of their overpopulation.
Yeah, so that was a good reason to have him on the show.
Yeah, came on the show. So you're going to play Jack Fish?
Yeah, I've got the transcript here, and this would be perfect for me because if I was ever to be an actor, these lines are great because they're like three words.
Yeah, monosyllabic.
That's right.
So who should I be?
You're going to be Bob Binyard. That should be real easy.
I don't know if I can pull it off. But okay, so Jack Fish, welcome to Bob Binyard Live. Thank you for joining us. You wrote this column about Somalia being overpopulated. Could you share with the audience, Jack, what is Somalia's population?
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not asking for an exact number, just to the nearest million.
I don't know.
Well, then, if they are overpopulated, Jack, what is their population density per square mile?
I don't know.
And that's pretty much the whole interview went that way, Fred. So it turns out that Somalia's population density, it really wasn't all that high. Now, that was back in 1994.
Yeah, it was 29 back then.
29?
And boy, it's skyrocketed since then, right?
Square mile.
29 per square mile in 1994. And you recently looked up what it is in 2014, and it's 36.
36 people per square mile, which is almost like totally devoid of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're going to see a list that's going to show that.
And so these environmentalists, they used to make fun of Christians holding signs on the street corner, the end is near. Mm-hmm. Now that's Al Gore.
Yeah,
that's Al
right.
Gore.
Yeah.
That's the liberal. To be a liberal, you have to be an end-of-the-world apocalyptic doomsayer, an envirochondriac, and they're prone to flatly inventing facts. So Somalia is underpopulated. Underpopulation generally does produce famine. When you compare Somalia's population density to countries, say, in Western Europe, as a rule of thumb, countries with greater population density have higher standards of living, higher literacy rates, higher life expectancies. And so we happen to put a chart together of nice places to live and lousy places to live. So Fred, how about here, like Austria? Cheryl, my wife, just wants so badly for the two of us to go Austria.
And that falls in the nice places column.
A density of 259 people per square mile.
Per square mile. And if you compare that with, say, a lousy place, we've got this at the top, not necessarily the top of the list, but Angola has a density of just 39, just like Somalia.
39 people. So which is a nicer place to live, Austria or Angola?
Yeah, Austria with 259 or Angola with 39, Austria wins.
Now, how about Belgium? Belgium, nice place to live, 919 people per square mile.
Yeah.
900.
900. Bolivia. 23.
Well, Denmark, you know, Denmark has 332 people per square mile. I wouldn't even mind visiting. I wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind visiting Denmark.
Yeah, so it falls in the nice places category.
Yeah.
Well, a lousy place would be like Botswana, which has only 9 people per square mile.
So you'll have liberals say, well, of course there's starvation in Botswana. They're overpopulated.
England, 9 per mile.
Now, England, 660 people per square mile.
Well, let's compare that to the Central African Republic that has 18.
Whoa.
Let's see, which place do I want? If I had to live somewhere, I think I'd choose England over Central African Republic.
And, you know, we're not saying that in the Central African Republic there are not beautiful landscapes. And undoubtedly there's very wealthy people there, and there's some nice neighborhoods, like 3 or 4 at least. But generally speaking, the poverty and literacy and life expectancy is going to be so much better in England than in Botswana.
That's right.
Or but France, nice place to live, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, they do lose every war.
That's right.
They pretty much have to have a civil war to win anything. But France, relatively nice place to live, 295 people per square mile.
And there's a country in Africa, Chad, that has 23 per square mile.
23.
And again, if you look at the poverty, the literacy rate, it's much lower.
So Germany, 593 people per square mile.
Republic of Congo, 31.
Wow. Ireland, I'd love to go to Ireland, 168 people per square mile.
Yeah. And Laos, just 70.
That's Southeast Asia.
Yep.
Israel, 961 people per square mile.
Now, a lot would say that's overpopulated, but, you know, Israel's doing really well economically.
Oh, their economy, sure.
Compare that to Liberia, which is just 80.
80. So 961 to 80. So many of these are like less than a tenth of the population density, and you go from a relatively first world, nice place to live, reasonable economy, to third world poverty nation. We have Italy, 518 people per square mile. Nice place.
And you just go across the Mediterranean, you cross that line of death that Gaddafi drew for Reagan back in the 80s, and you have a density of nine in Libya.
Wow. Japan, 873 people per square mile. That's Japan.
And Mozambique, 75.
Whoa. And you know, Fred, Japan, Jamie, who is the editor for Real Science Radio, he does such a great job. He lived in Japan for a while, was a radio broadcaster out there, and he pointed out to us that 73% of the country, 3/4, is mountainous. So that 873 people per square mile, that's the average density of the whole country, but really they live in just 1/4 of the space.
Yeah, and I did not realize that, but that's just an example of how they're actually, you know, the news article that came out.
Yeah.
They're wanting people to have more kids because they have an underpopulation crisis. I remember several years ago there was a news story where they were putting up big billboards trying to encourage people to have kids.
Yeah, the Japanese government is worried about the country's low birth rate because the number of births there have fallen to a record low now 4 years in a row. And for every 1 million Japanese babies who are born. Now, I know there are liberals who are racist and they think there are too many Africans, too many Japanese, too many Chinese.
Yeah.
They're racist.
They are.
Yeah. A baby is proof that God is an optimist. A baby has eternal value and worth. And we need to love each child that comes into the world. Well, for every 1 million babies born in Japan, 1.25 million Japanese people die.
Yeah.
1.25 million.
So they're losing 250,000.
Yeah. It's such a crisis. And right now, about 1/4 of Japan's population is over the age 65. By 2060, they say it'll be 40%. And their birth rate has fallen from 4.5 children per mom 1947 after the war to now less than 1.5.
Yeah.
So 4.5 to under 1.5.
So they're one of really quite a few governments that are recognizing the population problem. Their underpopulation, how it's going to hurt their economy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're promoting matchmaking.
Yeah. And you know, the solution is not more people. That's not really the solution to economic problems. The solution is Jesus Christ. When there's poverty and crime epidemics, it's because of bad religion and bad government. If you honor God and you therefore have good government, you will prosper. It will be a natural consequence.
Absolutely.
So, Fred, back to our list of nice places versus lousy places. Why'd you get stuck with a lousy place?
Yeah, how'd that happen?
I get to read that.
I got stuck with Jack Fish, too, and you got stuck with Bob Inyard.
Yeah, nice places like Luxembourg, 500 people per square mile.
And consider Namibia, just a density of 7.
500 down to 7. The Netherlands, over 1,000. This is our first nice place that is over 1,000. 1,052 people per square mile.
And contrast that with Niger, which is 31.
31. Wow.
I never get anything in the triple digits.
No, you haven't so far. How about Poland? 316 people per square mile.
And you compare that with Paraguay, which is 41.
Wow. Spain. My mom and pops are going to Spain in about a week.
And they're another country with an underpopulation problem that they're trying to solve.
Yeah, that's true. Spain has 236 people per square mile.
And Papua New Guinea has 39.
Whoa.
And I think I'd rather live in Spain.
Yeah, that's why mom and pops are taking a cruise. And
cool.
Yeah, they're going to see all the great sights in Spain. Switzerland, 487 people per square mile.
Peru, 60.
Whoa. Rhode Island is our next geographic location over 1,000. Rhode Island, 1,006 people per square mile.
Now contrast that with Russia, which has just 21, and they've been communist for almost a century, socialist for who knows how long, a population density of just 21, and look at the shambles they've been in for such a long time.
Compared to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Athens. I've been to Athens, Fred. We did our Bible tour of Greece. It's so fun. I know Greece is in a crisis as a country, but even still, Athens, 44,000 people per square mile.
Wow.
44,140 people per square mile.
And you compare that to Sudan, which is 44.
44. 1,000th of the population density. And look at the difference in standard of living. Boston, I love Boston, especially in the fall. But you could take the walk to Paul Revere, go to the church, and just what a place to visit. Boston, 13,340 people per square mile.
And compare that to Somalia, which is definitely a place I don't want to go anytime soon. A population density of 36.
Yeah, you'll get pirates there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I rented a car in Detroit recently. I took my son to a hockey tournament, Silver Stick. It was so great. And we went to the Joe. We saw the Red Wings.
Oh, cool.
I get to the airport. I go to rent a car, and my driver's license is expired.
Oh, no. I've had that happen before,
you have?
Too.
Hertz will not allow me
you can't.
To rent the car.
That's
we
right.
We are stranded at the airport.
Yeah.
So I went online. This is the 21st century. I renewed my driver's license online. They let you do that in Colorado. You know, if you're not 80 years old.
So while you were there, you renewed
while I'm there at Hertz, they won't let me rent the car. We are stranded.
Oh, man.
So I call a taxi to take us downtown Detroit to the Joe, the arena. And the guy driving it, he says he's from Somalia. So he hears me calling a talk show host in Michigan, in Lansing, John Mangopoulos, who he and I have been on each other's shows 100 times. And I'm telling John my dilemma. So the taxi cab driver says, oh, we have a rental place. And it's one of the major rental places. He said, oh, yeah, we'll rent you a car. We don't care if you have a driver's license. So he brings me to, I'm not going to give the name of the place. But I go in and he says, oh, we rent to anybody. We're pirates. We don't care. We're from Somalia. Literally, that's what he said. And my son, Michael, and I, AA, midget minor, AA, we rented a car. This is one of the leading car rental places in the U.S., but the franchise was run by a guy from Somalia.
Well, hey, you know, the time it happened to me is related to Creation, so I'll only mention it real quickly. It's before Creation Museum in Kentucky. I went out there for a conference, and I couldn't rent a car because my license had expired, so somebody at the conference came and picked me up.
Oh.
And it was right before 9/11, too. It was the month before 9/11.
Well, that was nice, right?
Yeah.
So neat. How about this? Madrid, 14,000 people per square mile.
and Uruguay, 52.
And then Rome, 44,000 people per square mile. Again, 44,000.
And Venezuela, 88.
And then San Francisco, 17,800 people per square mile.
Well, they can have that place.
Yeah. Well, good point.
And compare that, though, to Zaire, 75.
Yeesh. And Sydney, Australia, 965 people per square mile.
Yeah, that'd be a really cool place. Compare that to Zambia of just 44. Again, I haven't gotten into triple digits. I don't think I will.
And Toronto, 10,750 people per square mile.
And finally, Zimbabwe, 85.
Fred, countries with lower population densities, cities so often, generally have lower standards of living. So notice the scarcity of human beings in the poor nations, whereas some of the most beautiful places on earth, and certainly the most prosperous and desirable with the highest real estate values, these have tremendously dense populations, an average of 37,500 people per square mile in Tokyo. Fred, each square mile of their city, 3,500 people. Paris, 55,000 French men, women, and children live in each square mile. They don't use enough deodorant, but that's how many people live there in France. And New Yorkers living on Manhattan Island?
Well, we'll be there in a couple months.
The density, 66,940 people per square mile.
Wow.
And I love Manhattan. I just love it. Cheryl and I think if once our kids are all graduated, we have three hockey players still living at home. Dominic's 13. We might look to swap a home for a studio apartment in Manhattan and live there for a month or two. I could work on one of our books, produce our science shows, and we just love to go to a Broadway play, go to Little Italy, the main public library. Fred, we love that library.
Yeah.
Doing research there, I feel like I'm in heaven.
I've only been there once, but we're going here in a couple months. I can't wait.
Oh,
so
yeah. He'll be on assignment.
Yeah, that's right.
So in the Far East, Japan has 873 people per square mile, like we said, a much higher standard of living than countries that liberals will argue are overpopulated, like China, which has 368 people per square mile, Indonesia, 342, Thailand, 332, yet Japan is way up here at 873, and it has a way higher standard of living than these other countries.
And what about Taiwan? I mean, hey, they're Chinese, right?
Mm.
But what's different between them and the Chinese mainland?
Freedom.
Freedom, exactly.
Capitalism. Capitalism is freedom.
That's right. And their density is 1,655 people per square mile.
Whoa, that's more than four times as dense as those of the much lower prosperity on the mainland. So people are assets, not liabilities. Socialist and communist, since they must provide for so many helpless dependents, which America is becoming like that, just like most of the West, they see people as consumers, useless eaters, rather than the producers that most are or could be. You know, just a few hundred years ago, famine was rampant in North America. It didn't matter what the natural resources were. Famine was rampant here. Today, we have, what, a 2,000-fold increase in population, and we not only feed ourselves, but
most of the rest of the world.
Much of the liberal world, much of the left-wing
right.
world. Fred, we talk about what if the world's population came to Colorado for the day? The whole world.
Yeah.
You know, like 6 billion people. They could almost fit into one little speck on the map.
And that speck would be Rocky Mountain National Park. It's
right.
404 square miles.
Yeah. And
so you're talking the whole world's population.
The whole world. And they wouldn't have to squeeze together like sardines. If they all stood together, they'd fit in this little speck on the map. You have liberals with their sky is falling, chicken little minds regarding overpopulation. Rather than a full house or a crowded lifeboat, an orbiting alien, Fred, would view our world as nearly empty as any airline passenger can attest.
Well, that's what I tell people when I, next time you go on a flight somewhere, tell me that you really believe in overpopulation.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look out the window.
So Paul Ehrlich made this bet with an economist, and we did a whole show on this. We have it on DVD. you could purchase from.
That's that guy that made those bad predictions that none of them came true.
Yeah.
Population bomb.
So kgov.com or realscienceradio.com, rsr.org. Click on our store. And if you put in BET, B-E-T, you could get download or get our DVD of our environmentalist loses a 10-year bet. And Fred, he bet that natural resources would grow more scarce over a 10-year period. Did he win the bet?
He lost the bet after 10 years. He lost it handily. I mean, badly.
Yeah, badly.
He lost it badly. And he ended up owing the guy $500. And he didn't even write the check. He made his wife do it.
Yeah, he was probably too humiliated to sign the check. So we're about out of time. But, you know, the Agricultural Economic Institute at Oxford has estimated that we could feed 100 billion people with current technology, let alone the dramatic increase in technology. And you know what? We're all living so much longer, not on tubes and with our pumps and all. I mean, sometimes at the very end of your life, yeah, you're in a physical crisis, but we're living decades longer than just 50 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, this reminds me of the social experiments. Everybody opposes what God, what the Bible says, but consider Hinduism.
Oh.
I mean, they've got, you know, all those animals that they turn food into an item of worship.
Right. So, the cows.
Yeah.
And the cow dung they put on their heads. And then they have the untouchables, which is such wicked racism. Fred, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, wrote in her book, Pivot of Civilization, she wrote that the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the mute, and epileptics are the quote, dead weight of human waste.
Yeah, and the liberals love her. They wanted to even make a holiday out of her. Remember that
Margaret
in Colorado?
Sanger. Right. That's how viciously wicked she was to call handicapped people the dead weight of human waste. She wrote in another book, she wrote that the most merciful thing a large family can do to an infant member is to kill it. So when
she was very racist, too.
Yeah. So when the Huffington Post quoted me as a spokesman for American Right to Life, and Fred, they actually linked to that article on infanticide. And I think Jason Salzman wrote the article. You know, we're going to have to try to get him on Bob and Yurt Live and interview him.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll try to do that. You know, he tunes into the show occasionally. And he may have heard you and I going through that whole article and showing how Richard Dawkins, all these atheist evolutionists, pro-aborts, they're increasingly advocating to kill children even after they're born. That's because they've forgotten that God is our creator, and God said, do not kill the innocent.
Remember what the Bible says. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the lack of people is the destruction of the prince.
Wow, that's
Proverbs 14:28.
Proverbs. Thank you, Fred Williams. And this is Bob Enyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you guys.
Scholars can't explain it all away. By the handiwork of God, tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real, that's what I'm talking about.